Team Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let's
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye, a special New Year's Eve edition of Chicago Bullseye, recorded on Saturday after another stunning Bulls victory. Just amazing stuff here with how this team has turned it around. And we have the great Keith France at Bull Scripted, from Bull Scripted. How you doing, brother? Thanks for jumping on the Chicago Bullseye.
I'm doing great. Holiday season in full effect. Good to kick off the new year, hopefully with some trades shortly thereafter.
Well, I know what side you're on the tank or not the tank. You're definitely full forward on the tank. And it's going to look, no doubt, it's going to be impossible with the team currently constituted, especially considering Levine's coming back. I mean, goodness gracious, how good this team has been. Since Nico has come back, since Dunn has started playing well, and since, you know, returning to Lava from that injury, I think all three of those are almost equal in the importance. But here we go again with another victory over Indiana. Obviously, they had a man down. But, I mean, what's your opinion on this? I mean, would you now here we go, another week. Do you believe they need to make the trade and make it soon?
Yes, I believe they still need to make the trade, and here is why. As of right now, on the Bulls' books for next year, we have $62 million, but with Nico's $12.5 million option is a cap hold. We signed Levine to a max that puts us at about $87 million with three roster spots to fill next year and two picks. So if we make zero moves, we will have $10 million for one free agent, and our two draft picks to add to our roster next year. I do not think that makes us a championship contending team, and that should always be the goal.
Yeah, but that's assuming Levine's going to be a max deal. I mean, do you really feel that?
I feel with the way that they're handling the situation, they may sit Levine out until trades are made. The situation that we're in right now is perfect. Even from a tanking standpoint, I'm not shaking in my boots yet. We're two games ahead of the second-place lottery team and four games ahead of Atlanta. We've beat Milwaukee twice, the Knicks twice, and outside of that, we've played a lot of teams missing their star player, whether they rested them against us because they saw us as an unfit competition and a night off to give their star, you know, some recovery time, and then they got upset. I do see that changing. I don't think that's going to continue to happen. Teams are going to start taking the Bulls seriously. Other teams, as Dallas has shown, are also figuring out their rotation, their chemistry, their continuity. Dallas is on a winning streak. So all the losing teams are going to win. This is the NBA. These guys are pros. And as we've covered, players and coaches do not tank. Their jobs depend on their performance. Fred Hoiberg is paid to do the best that he can with the lineup that he's given, and he's doing that. It's up to the front office to make trades that put Felicio back in the lineup, as that still, to me, was the giant kicker in our uptick. Obviously, three to four rotation players out. If you include Levine to start the year with Nwaba, Nico, and Bobby out, yeah, your team's going to lose. But that's great. We got off to a great tank start. We've had a great streak. You know, we won seven in a row. They're building confidence that they can use once the trades are made. They know they belong now. So if the plan is executed properly, there's nothing that really can go wrong here. Trading Nico, Rolo, and Holiday is defining moves for the future. They're only here through next year. So you can sell high this year, or you can sell low next year, or you could potentially lose them for nothing. Nico's going to want his 16 to 20 mil that he was asking for this offseason after a horrible year in the 2019 free agency. You have to pay Dunn. You have to pay Lowry eventually. So if you lock somebody up like Nico to that much money, that hinders that, and it also hinders other big free agent signings.
No doubt. No doubt. But my concern is, you know, no doubt we got to trade Lopez. If your goal is a tank, you have to trade Lopez and Nico. I think that right away will significantly hurt the team and obviously make them less effective. The issue now, to me, is, though, you still have Portis playing at a relatively high level, much better than he was. You got Valentine showing signs improving. And Dunn has just exploded since he's come back and been and taken over the starting role. And Levine hasn't shown up yet. Those guys aren't going anywhere, right? Those guys are not going to be traded for, I guess theoretically Valentine could, but or Portis, but not Levine, not Markin, and not Dunn. And if those three are playing at a high level, I mean, gosh, Markkanen had 32 yesterday. Are you really going to be bad enough to even truly tank? I don't know.
Ooh, look at the Lakers. Look at the Knicks the last few years. The Knicks has had Porzingis, who's been dubbed as, you know, bona fide star.
Yeah, not three of them. Not three of them. Like, Dunn to me, I think they're all future all-stars. I think they can all be future all-stars. None of those teams had three guys that you could say would be future all-stars. True, Porzingis is a great player, top 10 player.
Okay, well, let me throw this scenario out to you. Everybody keeps comparing the Bulls to the Philadelphia 76ers in the process. That is completely the opposite of what we were doing. Our one trade, as you just stated, netted us about 5 years' worth of tanking. We benefited from the Timberwolves sucking the last decade, and we pretty much took their assets and gave them their win-now piece in Jimmy Butler. If Levine were to have started the season with the team, my tanking position would be entirely different. Full season of chemistry, continuity, and development with Levine on the floor would be a jump start to what we intend to do next year. With Levine being out the majority of the season and the ability to hold them out essentially as long as possible, as long as, you know, they're in contact with him in regards to his upcoming contract, we can pull a San Antonio Spurs move here. David Robinson down, only win 20 games, draft Tim Duncan. How has their last 20 years been? We can't think about now.
Transforming a player, right. Now, that's assuming, again, that you get one of the top two. I am not sold on Bamba. I don't think he's a transformative player. I think it's Ayton, and I think Doncic, specifically, potentially, those are the only two guys that I really kind of feel like are really transformative.
MPJ players. Is coming back from his injury.
True.
But
it's a serious injury.
We've covered spinal injuries, and I have a spinal injury of my own, so I know how difficult those are to deal with, and I'm fully aware that they never go away. So that is concerning, but adding him into the mix of the top picks makes the possibility of us getting somebody at three that is still transformative. But at the end of the day, Fred, somebody in this draft, in the top five, even the top 10, is going to be more beneficial for this team than any player that they can get in free agency for $10 million. Can you think of a player
Agreed.
At the top of your head that is going to come for $10 million a year or less, and is going to take this team to the next level from what we are now?
No. I mean, Clint Capella you might be able to get as a restricted free agent. Houston's going to be in a really tough spot financially. I think you may be able to steal him for
If there was a guarantee that Clint Capella coming into the offseason was going to be a Chicago Bull next year, added into our roster, I'd be all right with it. But you have to plan long term, and I understand the excitement. I'm enjoying watching it as much as it hurts me because it contradicts, you know, my opinion of what they should be doing. But at the same time, it's exactly what we wanted. You can't get trade value for players that you're not playing. They're playing well. They're playing right into the Bulls' hand. And like you pointed out at the beginning of the call, the Bulls can pick up Nico's option before trading him, and then he no longer has the ability to say no to a trade. So as these offers are rolling in, if the Bulls get something you know, that makes sense, a mid to late first, without destroying our cap, you know, basically matching cap and getting the first, I don't see how you can't do that.
Yeah, I agree. So, like, just for the callers again, Nico, if the Bulls pick up the team option in the second year, which is a bargain at the way he's playing, I think it's $12 million right around there.
Yeah, 12.5.
Then he loses his no trade. The only team I can think of potentially that would, either way, it's a win, because I think Nico would accept any trade because he wants to get out of the 2-year deal. He feels he's going to make a lot more money next year. So I cannot imagine a scenario where Nico Mirotic will say, I do not want to take this trade. I mean, maybe it exists, but I think it's entirely possible that no matter what team takes him, especially if it's the Lakers, because the Lakers, to me, would probably more likely just, you know, they want the cap space to go after LeBron.
No, yeah. The Lakers would be a team. Initially, you know, at the beginning of the year, Nico was being valued at what his playoff performance was last year, which was abysmal and was atrocious and was hard to watch. Obviously, now he's playing well, and if he can continue this level of play until the 15th, I think it only benefits the Bulls, and it falls right into their hands of what they'd like to do.
You know, let's for a second, though, stop. And let's say we don't go down that route. Let's say this team just continues to win at this level. You know, 10 out of 12, and, you know, next thing we look, and we're 500 fairly quickly. How far can this team go? Do you feel that with the addition of Levine, I think there's no doubt they have playoff potential. I think they're better than most of the teams near the, you know, from the four. I think they can beat any team with the exception of Cleveland, Toronto included. But, I mean, how far do you feel? What do you feel like this team would max out with the team as currently constituted and how they're playing right now?
I mean, I do feel that, you know, I said it at the beginning of the year, when I started voicing my concerns about trades preseason, because I saw this coming. Our roster was not as poor as people were making it out to be, and the early injuries and suspensions and drama we had going on resulted in our beginning record, which is kind of what we wanted to start the year. I do think that they could potentially make it past the first round if they're not faced up against Cleveland with, you know, no home court advantage. It's hard enough to beat Cleveland 4 out of 7 games in general, let alone when they're playing at home more games than you are. So ultimately, it would depend on who lands the 1 seed in the East. If we go in as the 8th seed, you go in at a disadvantage. And that's why I maintain my position of making the trades and trying to make, you know, the lottery instead, because every other team in the league's front office, the Grizzlies may not even have Conley come back because they understand the importance of what a top draft pick could do for their team with Gasol on his way out. There's plenty of teams that are positioning for the lottery. So making the playoffs in a year when everyone else is running for the lottery isn't really an accomplishment. It's not what it appears. Sure, you're in the playoffs. You can say you made the playoffs. But when the other 8 teams in your conference were trying to lose to get into the lottery, what did you really accomplish?
Who's really doing that, though? Let's step back and look at it. The Nets are not trying to lose. They just whacked Miami yesterday by, you know.
Nets have no reason to lose.
Exactly. Exactly. So they're not in it. You know, they're a quote-unquote lottery team that's going to try to win. That you figure if the Bulls make a few trades, they're going to be, you know, better than we expected. What about it's Atlanta? What other teams are really going to try to lose? The Clippers aren't going to try to lose. They just had their guys come back yesterday, and they looked fantastic. I think they got a shot at the 8.
Oh, no. So I think the Clippers are fine, and I was looking at the standings and seeing the teams that could move up if the Bulls make trades and where we could fall if we move down, and we're well within reach of the top pick. As I said, we're 4 games away from the top lottery spot and 2 games away from the second lottery spot. Everything's all bunched up in the middle. Maybe some of these teams aren't intentionally trying to, but come the deadline, you know, there's always buyers and sellers. The teams that feel they can make the playoffs will make moves to add pieces that increase their chances, and the teams that feel that they aren't will make trades do not.
The Mavs have won 3 in a row. You know, they have too much talent to be this bad. I've always felt that way. To me, it's the Kings and Atlanta. And
well, the Kings want to win too, though. Hill has been put on record criticizing the front office for them losing. He said, "I only came here because you told me we were going to win," which I find hilarious. It's like, well, the winning kind of depends on you and the other veterans we brought in. But
yeah.
You know, they want to win too. The veterans, I mean, obviously all the players want to win. But like I said, I think we're a playoff team. I think we can make the playoffs. I just think the playoffs hurt us more than they help us. We fall right back into the rut of why we made the trade. We were making first-round exits, picking late, not getting talent, and while we're forcing this competition thing, we're leaving players like Felicio, who's on a 4-year deal, who's supposed to be developing, on the bench. Now that's just dead cap. You move forward with this roster, Felicio never develops. You have to eat his 8-mil cap for the next 3 years past this for no reason.
What a disaster that turned out to be. And I don't necessarily blame the front office. I mean, I heard that turd came into camp, you know, fat and out of shape. I mean, that's on him. That's on him. You know, that's a bad reflection on you as a player. And I know he's a nice kid. I heard he took the organization out and the team out to dinner for Windy City. I'm sure you're
hearing that. I heard the first thing he did was buy his mom a car or a house. I forget which it was. You know, and I love, if somebody's going to get paid, I love hearing stories like that. But at the end of the day, if you're not performing, unless you're getting paid and you play on my team, the whole "you're a great person" thing kind of goes out the window for me. Because
you're professional. Come on. I mean, you're a Chicago Bull, and a lot was depending on you. And you have the tools to be a decent player. It's pathetic how bad that guy has looked. He's developed nothing on the offensive end. He's a complete disaster. And, you know, I hope he turns it around for our sake. I doubt he will.
Well, the two G League games he's been in, he said 2 20-point double-doubles. So obviously, part of the issue is coming in is what are you going to accomplish in 10-minute stints as well. You know, you have to set players up to develop. I mean, him sitting on the bench, he's clearly, you know, just like Blakeney, they're both probably clearly too good for the G League and not good enough yet for the NBA. But the only way they're ever going to get good enough for the NBA is by playing them.
Agreed. Yeah, that's not a good call. Blakeney's the same way. He's just right there on the edge. He's too good for the G League.
He's dropping 37.9 points per game in the G League. You really can't go up from there.
Right, exactly. Outside of Nico, here's another question for you. Outside of Nico, who's impressed you the most during this run in the last couple weeks, this 10 out of 12? Who surprised you the most? Who did you not necessarily believe in? Who's shown you signs that he could be a lot more than you expected?
I mean, that's a loaded question because Nico's really the only person that fits into that situation for me. Coming into the season, you know, one of the first casts I did with you was defending Dunn to one of your podcast hosts. So Dunn would be the person I would pick for the consistency, but I would not say that I was surprised by what he did. I would attribute majority.
How about Portis?
Portis hasn't surprised me either. You know, we talked early in the season about Bobby in the playoffs. Bobby's the reason why I didn't want them to bring Nico back. Outside of Blakeney, Markkanen and Portis are our two youngest assets. So I really didn't like the idea of clogging up. You know, obviously, the way the league's gone, they can play the center position most nights against most teams. So that kind of clears up the clogging issue. But I'm not really surprised by BP either. I mean, in a way, I mean, would I have told you that he was going to be putting up 20 points most game? No. I mean, he's just, I guess I'm not overly surprised. We saw him in the playoffs. We saw what he can do. We heard over the offseason how much work Bobby was putting in and how much he improved. And he took on a mini leadership role with the younger guys, and, you know, I'm pretty sure Blakeney was living with him from what I saw on Snapchat and social media stuff. So That's the other reason I think Nico gets traded. I think a lot of Nico's motivation for playing as well as he is so he has options to choose from of where he goes if the Bulls don't pick up his option.
Let's think for a moment. Let's pretend I just bought the team and I hired you as GM. What would you feel? So, and immediately you take a look at the team and where we're at with Fred Hoiberg and his contract. I want you to make a decision on Fred Hoiberg. Do you fire him or do you extend him? What is your decision?
Well, he's got two more years on his contract. I think I would wait till next year to make that decision. As of right now, I think Fred Hoiberg is the perfect coach for this team. You know, obviously early on it was kind of questionable because we were losing and then he's not showing the enthusiasm on the side fighting for his players, but we don't know what all goes on in the minor exchanges between him and that player when they're coming back to the bench. So outside of his approach towards referees, I don't care about not screaming at players. That seems, you know, that position seems to be working fine with them currently. But as for the referees, that still bothers me. But overall, I see no reason to fire Fred going into next year. After next year, you know, when you have a full season of where you're trying to make the playoffs, trying to make a playoff run, and then seeing how he performs in the playoffs with a team that fits, you know, his style of play, unlike previously when he went to the playoffs with Butler and Rondo and Wade.
I agree with you. And you know what? My only issue with Fred Hoiberg really is number one is just the officials. I don't like the way he's not aggressive enough with the officials. When the Bulls are getting hosed, he needs to defend his players. I've made this case ad nauseum. That's a big part of being a coach, though. You know, that's a big part of it. And you know, but outside of that, I mean, how can you not look at the progress Dunn has made and giving him some credit there? Nico's two best seasons by far have been under Fred Hoiberg. His second year in the league he was substantially better than he was his rookie year under Tom Thibodeau. Much better. No one ever talked about that because no one was paying attention. But he got 39% from three that year. And this year is his best year by far. So, you know, guys have progressed under Fred. Guys are improving under Fred. So, you know, that's my only issue there. And so it sounds like the three guys you would move immediately are to make this team tank. Lopez.
See, I would have moved Rolo like weeks ago. I feel he's the glue. I feel once he's gone and Felicio is playing, as you know, I keep stating, the difference between us winning and losing was Nico swapping for Felicio. Before then, we were playing a lot of close games, but still losing. We couldn't finish. You know,
second
at the end of the day,
was awful. Yep.
Exactly. We couldn't beat the negative plus minus that Felicio was putting on the floor every night. So I feel you move Rolo. Rolo makes everything easier for the guards. He, as much as Hoiberg can be attributed, you know, to Lowry's initial success, Dunn's improvement, he makes life easier for, you know, the fellow bigs and the point guards on the team. You know, Grant looked fantastic at times as a starter with Rolo because Rolo can bail you out at anything.
That's great pick. He had no doubt about it, man. The guy
that's great pick. He lingers around. He's got range from, you know, 17 feet and in. Little pick and pop, little dump off when you get too deep and you're trapped. You know, he makes everything so easy for everybody. And lately it seems they've been making a concerted effort early to get him and to establish that dominance down there. Without that, I think this team falls apart. You may not have to trade Nico. You may not have to trade Holiday. The only thing is without trading Holiday with Lopez, can you get a first-round pick back? And that's something that I feel a lot of my followers and fans that listen to your podcast don't understand about wanting to trade these players to lose. It's not only to lose, it's to get more draft picks, to potentially be able to get, you know, one or even two extra firsts in this draft and have a top five pick. You're talking about the possibility of filling the two of three roster spots that we need next year with two lottery players, trading those two picks up to the back end of the lottery and getting a 3-and-D wing after We get Ayton for the sake of conversation. That plan just makes so much more sense than hoping that, you know, riding this season out and trying to find a free agent for 10 mil and running this team back with mediocre picks, where you're going to have to find the Kuzma, or you might have been better off not even taking the pick.
Yeah, that's a big if, though, that we get Ayton. I mean, it's such a difficult call, and for this reason, Keith, it's just that, I mean, I'm seeing this lineup they're throwing out there with Nico at the four and playing Markkanen at the five, and I'm like in love. You know, this is so exciting to see having how many teams can throw out a four and a five that can shoot the three like that. There aren't any. It's like insane. You know, and so, and it's such a big risk just to trade these guys that are so, I think, so good, and the team is rolling.
It's a risk for this year. They're not on four-year deals, Fred. They're only here through next year. So are you going to shoot yourself in the foot for your two-year potential for a short window of mediocrity in the playoffs? Or do you trade them now while their value is high, get something that helps you long-term back, and also helps you with your own draft positioning? I don't see why you wouldn't trade them unless you really feel this unit is good enough for a championship.
Yeah, and then
you have to repay them 2019, or you let them walk for free, and then you got fans talking about, well, they let him go for nothing, they could have done this, they should have traded him, and the same people will be crying on draft night when we're picking 14 or 15, 16, and we get nobody that they know, nobody that they like, and the guy becomes Tony Snell on the bench, and because we're competing, he never gets any experience, he never gets any development, and then we trade him away for nothing. So I would much rather one season. I don't want to lose next year. I'm not saying trade away our solid future assets to lose now. I'm saying trade short-term assets for good long-term future assets in order to increase our loss. I'm not saying give Rolo away. I don't want to trade Rolo for a second-round pick. I don't think anybody in the second round is going to make a giant difference. Now, an extra first, to either take multiple shots late in the draft or trade up for somebody that you like earlier in the draft, I don't see a better plan than that with the way things currently are.
I agree. I think you got to trade him if you can get a number one, a late number one. And I think he's worth a late number one. I think Nico should be worth a late number one. You know, for a contending team that needs that guy to just put him over the top, I mean, it's got to be there. Looking at the Wizards, looking at some of these teams that just have, you know, a hole or need somebody to come off the bench. It's got to be
and
there.
That's where the Bulls are playing the situation with Nico perfectly, though, too. They haven't re-given him Markkanen's spot. They're showcasing Nico in a position that he will be in on a contending team that he's trading to, coming off the bench, being able to show you this.
Good point. Yep.
So they are playing Nico the perfect way, and Nico is playing himself into trade value at the perfect time. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if the Bulls make the trades and we're still winning, you won't hear me mention the word tank again. I will shut the hell up and just deal with it. But the way things are right now, it would kill us.
Here's the worst. I'm up for either one. Like, I just don't want some halfway measure. Like, if we trade just one guy, you know, Nico or Rolo, and we're still winning, to me, that's the worst of all cases, the worst of all situations. Like, I want to tank, or I want to go for it. That's it. You know, like, and I'm fine with either one. I'm happy with either one. But something in the middle of me is just stupid and dumb, you know. Like, if we're just going to just move one guy and make our team worse, but we're still good, you know, and still winning at a 500% instead of where we're at now. I mean, how stupid is that, right? I mean,
well, no, exactly. It has to be all the way one way or all the way the other way. You know, because we're not Cleveland or Boston. We don't have extra first round picks from other teams where we can, you know, not worry about what our record is because we got a team's pick that sucks that could end up giving us a 2-5 pick or, you know, a top 10 pick. And that's, that's the situation we're in. Boston can compete and do whatever they want, but my biggest nightmare is Boston landing Ayton. Boston lands Ayton, you might as well just start scrapping up championships for Boston. Tatum, Brown, Irving, Hayward, Horford. That is the nightmare scenario that would kill this whole Bulls rebuild. You would have a new juggernaut in the East for the foreseeable future that is going to be very hard to take down.
No, agreed. Yeah, that would be a bad situation, no doubt there. Brother, thanks for jumping on. This is always a fascinating conversation, a great time to be a Bulls fan, I think, overall. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens over the next couple of weeks. I'm fine with either direction they take. I just hope they go in that direction with full force. I think they will. I believe in the team, and I believe in the organization overall to make the right decision in their talent evaluation. And I'm
You're the one odd case that actually approves of the front office, approves of what happened, and you don't sway. You're not the person that'll be like, oh, you know, we suck because we're picking here in the front office. Didn't do this. You don't go back on what you're thinking, so I can take stance on things at full value because you actually, you know, you stand by what you say. You're not the fan that's going to be complaining 2 years from now when we've got knocked out of the playoffs in the first round, haven't drafted anybody worth drafting, and we're still in the same spot.
I think there's an outside chance we can take advantage of Minnesota again. I mean, Minnesota just lost Teague for a certain amount of time. Their bench sucks. Is it possible they give up their number one pick for Nico Mirotic? Is it possible they give up their number one pick for Grant? Oh, my gosh.
On the trade machine that I've been working with, I don't believe Minnesota can still trade their 2018 first because they don't have any form of a 2019 first. So teams are not allowed to trade consecutive first picks back-to-back.
How did they lose their 2019?
Like I said, the trade machine that I'm using, it's not in there. I will have to re-look it up, but as far as I'm aware, they don't have their 2019 because I was looking into, you know, sending Holiday and Rolo because they could use a big backup that doesn't have Cat playing 42 minutes a game. I definitely started looking into that kind of stuff after watching several Minnesota games and going, wow. Yeah, they have a great starting five, but once you get to their bench, it's kind of Jamal Crawford, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And I do believe in the front office, like I said before. And you know, I'm going to come out with an article, I think, on this or a full podcast on it. But I've gone a little bit more into this general attitude or theory that the Bulls haven't drafted well in recent years. You know, it all ended with Butler's pick at 30. And just looking at Bobby Portis at 22, look at that draft. And have the nerve to tell me that was not one of the best picks.
That is the other reason why I want our team to get extra picks. We haven't had luck in free agency. We haven't had the best trade situations until the most recent big trade. So I guess if you're going to nail one, it's great that we nailed the important one. But we're good at picking late. Taj Gibson, 26. Nico Mirotic, 23.
Yep.
Bobby Portis,
22. Yep.
So to say that this team doesn't know how to draft would probably be completely inaccurate, considering wherever they have been positioned in the first round, they have done fairly well with what they were given in not-so-great draft classes. That's the other thing that people keep referring to. Well, nothing in the draft is guaranteed. You know, there's misses in the draft every year. Yeah, you know. Before this last draft, the five before that were pretty much you have the top pick or you got to do your homework extra hard and find the diamond in the rough. That's not the case this year. You know, the top five is, you know, potential all-star-like talent. And then you move back, and it'll probably go to about 15, 16 before the talent falls off again.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, man, I got to run. I got to hit the ground running. It's always great to talk to you, Keith. You always bring the goods. Awesome having you on, Chicago Bullseye again. Have a fantastic weekend. Looking forward to having you on again. Talk to you next weekend.
Yeah, I'll talk to you in the new year.
Have a good one, brother. Happy New Year to you and your family, by the way.
You as well. Have a great time.
All right, my man. Bye-bye.